Hello? Okay, this should be working. Okay, basically, we're going to, the topic is actually decoding what we learn based on the history, the historical contact, and actually how history repeats itself. Today, yesterday, we're facing the same problems that happened 2,000 years ago. I'd like to start just my mother's yahrzeit. Her six-month yahrzeit will be next week. Today is Rav Gifter's yahrzeit. And I want to appreciate Rabbi Levine. I don't know how he prepares every day to do all this stuff. It's just, I don't understand it. It's a break-backing thing. I took half of topic one. I'm going to leave it to the end because it's really, you can expand it as long as you want. There are many things that, unless you know what's going on, you can't explain it. And we say every day in Ketores, if you say Ketores, you're talking about all the salamanim they put in. We know they put good-smelling stuff, bad-smelling stuff. And then we say, why do they put in Yain Kafrisin, Cyprus wine? Lishrus Bereset Tzipar Ketei Shei Aza. The nail, when you mix it, should be very easy to do it. Baloi Mei Raglayim Yafin Lo. Mei Raglayim would be just as good. Elasheimach Nisi Mei Raglayim Be Migdash Bet Mei HaKavod. What is Mei Raglayim?
Urine.
Does that make sense? That you would talk about, if you would be allowed to, I would put in urine into the Ketores. So Rav Ruvi Margolis, who was a scholar who from the old country who came to Israel, and he wrote a number of svarim on esoteric topics, says, very simple, there's a stream that goes around Yerushalayim that's known as Ein Rogel, and the women used to go and do the laundry in the stream, and in Yerushalayim, you knew that Mei Ragolim was the water from that stream, which was a little dirty, it was polluted back 2,000 years ago. So, if you understand that, that's what Mei Ragolim means. It's not Mei Raglayim, it's Mei Ragolim. And even though it's water that is potable, or it's not poison water, but it's not covered, so we don't bring. We use Cyprus and wine. If you recall, I don't know. There's a machloikus. If you're allowed to eat chon Friday night, if you're allowed to mix the chon. And there's a difference halacha if you're in Israel or in America. And the reason the difference halacha is because when you do it, I think in Israel, I'm not sure, it makes the chon better. Because Israel uses, they didn't have beef. Beef was expensive. So most chons, they put in chicken. And you want the chicken really gets, the bone gets dissolved into it. It becomes a better chon overnight. We put in beef bones. So it doesn't make a difference at night or by day. It's, you know. So you have to know the history behind it to apply it. Hatzola. I don't know, who recalls when Hatzola started? What was the response time of a city ambulance to any incident? It was 20 to 30 minutes to get the thing, and people were dying of a heart attack. So a few individuals, a guy, Rabbi Weber, a Papa Chassid in Williamsburg, he started there. And I remember Lubavitch really got into it when the Rebbe had his heart attack. They wanted, you know, if you were smart, you grabbed the car, you put someone in a car, you ran. You didn't wait for the city ambulance. Today, the response, I think, is less than 3 minutes when we have a case.
Who?
Hatzola.
Hatzola, within a minute. There.
Okay, not long ago.
You hang up the phone and they're there.
Not long ago, a 8-month child on 32nd, not 32nd, but 22nd.
22nd.
Right, fell off the bed, and they came right away, and there was a drop of a pulse. They put the child in the ambulance down 60th, and Atzola had pre-called it that every block, as soon as the ambulance was coming, they stopped the traffic. They shouldn't even have to slow down. It didn't work out well at the end, but the response was there. When Hatzola started, there were signs all over Williamsburg saying, Shkotzim, who want to drive on Shabbos, join Hatzola. And then later, when they did join Hatzola, there was a tremendous fight whether they were qualified because they couldn't pass the test. They were cheating on the test just to get their EMT license, whatever it was.
They were ticketing them also for all kinds of violations.
And then there was a fight in Hatzalah. So what they did is they published Hatzalah's number. Today you see Hatzalah on the milk containers. Mm-hmm. It's written usually in Yiddish and Hebrew letters. Because what they did is they published it, Hatzalah, they put it into every public phone in the Lower East Side. And every drunk who needed a ride home would call Hatzalah on Shabbos. And you can't differentiate the calls. So unless you know the history of it, you really don't understand, you know. I suppose if today Hatzalah might have a different problem of opening. So you've got to understand what the circumstances were. There's a very interesting case that I'm going to push off to the end about the Zeisman case, because I think that we can make that into a big discussion. I want to go into Agarata now, the story of Tanur of Achonai, and the story of Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, and I'm going to put it into historical context, and it is, I'm going to give you an explanation that no one says. But first I'll go through the traditional, and then we'll do it. Okay, so before we start the Gemara, we're going to be talking about basically Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanina. And we know them from Pirkei Avos. They were, it's Perek Bey's Yud, that these were the Talmud, they were, what does it say? They were five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanina, Rabbi Yosef Abaych HaKoyen, Rabbi Shimon ben Sana, Rabbi Eliezer ben Arad. And what was the Shvach? And I'm going to emphasize too, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was Bor Sage Enen Mabe Tipa. He never forgot a single thing that he learned. He knew everything. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanina was Asher Yeladotoy. It doesn't say much more on that. And then it says, the next mission you based, if all the Chachma Yisrael were on one side of a scale, the Eliezer ben Hyrcanus Bekava Sheni, he Machrias Kulam. This is how solid a guy he was. We're talking Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said this on his Talmud. Okay, let me go. I'll say some more things now because you'll remember it for later. They said, what is a good derech toiva shiyidbak bo adam? Rabbi Eliezer omer ayin toiva, Rabbi Yeshua omer chaver toiva. Okay, and I just want to, since we're Pirkei Avos, I want to throw in one more thing. It says later in the next paragraph, Rabbi Eliezer hamodai omer, whoever disgraces or is mevaza de kachim, am mevaza as a mayada, is a malbim pedei chaver barabim, am eif a brisa shal Avram Avina, am a galim parnim b'toyre shalok halacha. If someone makes a bad shot on purpose, obviously, on the Torah, even if he has kolde, the other Torah, ma'isim toivim, ein lechaylik leilam haba. And I just want to put a little parenthesis, who was Eliezer Modai? I think he was the guy who was killed in Beitar, if I'm not mistaken. Because he was sitting and learning, and a Samaritan came over and whispered in his ear, and they told Bar Kocha, this guy's planning against you, and he killed him, and that's when the whole Bar Kocha thing was went out, you know, lost its whole impetus. Okay. The Roman Empire split into Ptolemy and Seleucid, whatever. Seleucid, right. And this was around year 100 BC. That's when you had. No, you had already. Julius Caesar was like 130 before. Mark Antony and Cleopatra were like 100 years.
The split you're describing, with the names you're describing, is in fact the Greek, Assyrian Greek Empire.
Right, but they kept going under the Romans. They were still continuing that. So they, it was fine. You know, things more or less hurt us and everything went on as good as we have it now. Hurdus did tremendous things for the people. He built up cities, he built up Yerushalayim, he built up Arabayas. And then there was a revolt. The first Jewish-Roman revolt. And basically it started because in Caesarea, which was the capital, some Roman merchants decided to shecht the pigeons in front of the shul, and they upset some rabbanim, and they started a revolution, and it spread to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim they kicked out, they were able to at the spur of the moment, get rid of the whole legion that was in Shalim. They chased them out. And the Romans thought, you know, a bunch of Jews, you know, what can they do? And they sent a legion up from Yafo up to Yerushalayim. They went through, it's called Bet Horon, which is right, if you go to on the road on Modin, I think it's 443, if you go to that road, it goes through a valley, through a hill, and they massacred, and the Jews massacred 6,000 Roman legionnaires, and the only time in history they took their standard, the golden eagle that they had, which was the represented each legion, their relationship to whatever, they actually captured it. And of course, this got the Romans upset, and they sent in Titus, and Vespucian was the general. And I think it was 66 or 67, it was called the Year of the Four Emperors. It was really, Nero was the emperor in the 60s. 60 in the Common Era, and we know of Nero. He fiddled while Rome burned. He was whatever he was. All his work was done by the generals in the field. And when he died, actually he married a Jewish pregnant woman in his last year, and he got rid of his queen, and then he killed her. But when he died and the general started going, whoever was most powerful and had the biggest army, he became the general. He became the Caesar, the emperor of Rome. And there was a siege against Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim you had, the food was destroyed by the Sirkikim, the Bnei Torah, who didn't, you wanted, they weren't Amoratsim, right? Right. So you had a fight among the religious, you know what to do. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel was, I think, also captured, the first Gamliel, and he may have been killed by the Romans. He had him, sorry, Harugi Malchus, maybe killed in this period. But Yochanan ben Zakkai decided, hey, you know, this is not the place to be. This is not going to end out right. And he took two of his Talmidim, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, put him in a coffin, they took him out. Who was Rabbi Lazar and who was Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Lazar was a Kohen. He must have been born around, let's say, the year 40. And he had a lot of brothers, and he was a younger brother, and his father had fields, and he sent them out in the fields. And he was working with the cow was pulling the plow, and he got into a rock, and he didn't decide, instead of moving the rock, he'd go around the rock, and the cow broke its leg, and it became a trefa. So he said, this is not for me. He went off the derech, and he left the field, and he went straight to the yeshiva. He said, I'm going to learn. At the age of 20, he went down, he sat next to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he's the borsh loma betipa. And from that second on, his father ostracized him. Later, we have in the Gemara a story that when he was sitting and Hyrcanus came into town, and Yochanan ben Zakkai knew he was coming, and he made him prepare the whole shir. And Hyrcanus says, wow, who is this guy? And he says, you don't know who this guy is? That's your son. He says, and he was mocked and mad that he should give him his money.
This is found in the introduction to Pickard or Rabbi Eliezer.
Okay. So this was Eliezer, who was a Kayan. This is
Hyrcanus.
Right. This is his background. Don't forget, this is his background. Rabbi Yeshua was more, was a Levi. He was from the Mesharim. He must have been older. And he was more of a sedate person. And it was known that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer always had machlaikas. Rabbi Eliezer knew everything, and he felt that the Shammai Shita was right. And we couldn't help it. There were more base hills, so they passed him like hill. But he felt that Shammai was a more original. So anyway, these two guys take Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they take him out of the walls. And the first thing Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I want to talk to the chief general Vespucian who's going around Yerushalayim. Why would the chief Roman general speak to Yochanan ben Zakkai? His spies told him, you know, this distinguished chief rabbi who's been supporting you, more or less, he's been saying you shouldn't, that we should come to some deal with the Romans. Now, this was right after you had these four generals who became emperors one after another. Vespucian is no fool. He knows that he's the strongest general now, and hopefully I will become the next emperor. But he won't say that, because if he said that, he's married the Malchus, and off goes his head. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai walks into the Shavush's tent, and the first thing he does is he bows down to the, he says, I bow to you, the emperor. So he, you know, the word is obsequious. He was very, he hit him in his good spot. He says, what do you want? He says, I want three things. I want one, you give me Yavne, I should make a, as a center of learning. Number two, you don't destroy the Gamliel family, the Nasiim that were from Yehuda, so we can continue our leadership. And three, I want you that I think there was, who was it, right? Tzadik? Tzadik, who was an old sick man, he never ate anything, I want a doctor for him. And the discussion and his advisor says, man, that's all he wants? I mean, if he would have asked me gold or silver or whatever, he wants those three little things, no problem. And of course, we realize that what's left of Vespucian and what's left of today from Am Yisrael is because he was able to meet Biyasa and Yavna, the whole that came out, the Mishnah, the Torah, the Gemara, everything came because of this little process.
What do you think of Rabbi Yochanan's criticism?
Of what?
Rabbi Yochanan criticizes Rabbi Yochanan. He said, if he had been there, he would have asked.
You know, everybody, if I was a general there, I would have, you know. So he goes to Yavna, they set up the Sanhedrin, and then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai leaves, he goes, I don't remember which town he went to, and they tell me then they spread out. Rabbi Eliezer went to Lod, Rabbi Gamliel became officially the head of the Sanhedrin, Rabbi Gamliel number two, he becomes the head of the Sanhedrin, and he takes Rabbi Yeshua as the big... either Av Bezma or the big Talmud Chacham, and everyone has their own little yeshiva. Rabbi Eliezer has a yeshiva in Lod, and he is known throughout as Tzedek, Tzedek Tirdov. This guy knows it. He, there's no question that you don't go around and to follow him. Okay, so now we'll take the Gemara in Baba Metzia. That's the I couldn't copy Art Scroll because the Art Scroll usually gets very upset when you do copying with their stuff. So I had Steinsaltz, and if you have the page with the dots, that's the Steinsaltz Gemara. So we'll just go quickly over the Gemara, and then we'll try to figure out what it is. But before, let me just add one more thing beforehand. There's not enough of everything, so if you initially... I wanted to... Where do I get the... You know, people say, what are you doing history? We don't teach history, yeshivas. Why do you learn Pshat and Gemara in history? Which I think you, if you have any half a brain, you would say, I have to do it. I found the Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara is, says like this. A great... I'll say in English, it's easier for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. A great man who was very tall came to Nardoi, and he was limping. And he taught us that you're allowed to wear, a woman's allowed to wear a tayara on Shabbos in the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Rav says, Man Gavra Rabba Yechidishtuli. Who is this big guy who is walking and limping? It's Levi. Levi was a guy in Zman HaMikdash. Shmamina Noch Nafshi de Rav Opis. From this we know that Rav Opis, who was had a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, died because Levi was a Talmud of his, and he was learning, and now he didn't have who to learn with, so he went to Bavel. And then the Gemara says, no, how do you know that Opis died? Maybe his Chavrusa of Levi, Hanina, died. And since he didn't have a good Chavrusa, he went to Bavel. So the Gemara is making a discussion who this Levi, who Paskind was, based on assumptions in history. I assume that he died. So if the Gemara can do it, I think that we can go ahead and do that too. So it happens to be a case that Rabbi Eliezer and our Gemara, they're sitting with the Chachamim and they're talking about Zehu Tanur Shachnai. What's the halacha of a Tanur of Achnai? This is going to be a Agadah, but it's really not, and it's very... The Gemara before was talking about Anoah. You're not allowed to fool somebody. Anoah is Devarim. And then he says, I'll give you an example of how critical Anoah is Devarim can be. I'll tell you the story of the Tanur al-Chanai. Ma'i Chanai, Am Rabbi Yehuda al-Mishmul, Shekifu Devarim ka'achna, Zuv v'temua. They surrounded this... like a serpent, they surrounded this oven with Divrei Torah, and they made a tameh. Okay. So what's basically the story? Something that is a piece of karka, a stone, does not be, if it's attached to the ground, does not become mekabel tuma. If it's a keli, it's mekabel tuma. So they had an oven that was made out of slabs. The ovens are like you see at pizza, what's it called? The pizza place? Where they have this oven, and they put it in from the top, they put a piece of dough against the side. So one guy developed a oven that was cut into slabs. It was like tire slices, and you piled them. You put some sand in between the slices. You piled them up. You put grout on the outside to keep the heat in, and that was just. And Rabbi Loza felt that oven was tahar because it was not a keli. It was a pieces of slabs, a piece of broken stone that was a tahar. So he came and he had a whole fight, and the Rabban and the Besdin said it, and the Sanhedrin said, no, it's Tomei. Tana ba'isa hayoim heishiv Rabbi Eliezer kol tshuvas sheba'olam v'loi kiblu b'men. They must have been really upset against Rabbi Eliezer for whatever reason. We'll try to figure out later. And they didn't accept any halacha that he said. Amalehem im halacha kamoisi charuv ze yochiyach. I'm right. I'll give you 300 reasons why I'm right. And they didn't accept. They said, to prove it, the buxa tree, what's it called, the carob tree? A carob tree will move from its place to prove I'm right. And the tree jumped either, according to one sheet, 100 amas, according to another sheet, 400 amas. So what did the Chachamim say? You don't bring a proof. I'll say it once, just a pshat, then there's the Maral goes into this, and the Venya Yoda, but let's go for a story. Chaza, he turned back. The ditch of water, the canal will prove I'm right. What happened? Chazu amas hamayim lachareim. The direction of the water turned went uphill or went in the wrong direction. You don't bring proof. The walls of the base measure will prove I'm right. So the walls started bending in. Rabbi Yeshua was the other person we spoke about, right? So Rabbi Yeshua started yelling at the walls. Amalehem, im talmid chachamim menatzchim zeh zeh b'halacha, atem mati v'esem? If big talmid chachamim are arguing and discussing halacha, what's it your business? Stick out of it. Lo naflu b'vnei kvodesh Rabbi Yeshua. So they didn't fall all the way because Rabbi Yeshua told them to stop. V'lo yizakfu, they didn't straighten up because kvodesh Rabbi Eliezer. V'adai matem v'aydin, and they're still standing at this slope. So now Rabbi Eliezer gave him three supernatural proofs. This is three in addition to his logical proofs and what he said, because don't forget he was Bor Shein Mabet Tipa. So he told him all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu all the proofs that he was right. From heaven they will prove it. Yotzes Abasko v'amra. Malachem Eitzel Rabbi Lozer. The Basko said, what do you have to do with Rabbi Lozer? Halacha Kamaisai. Always the halacha is like him. B'kol Makayim. Everywhere Rabbi Lozer says something, the halacha is like him. Omad Rabbi Yeshua Raglai. Rabbi Yeshua hears this Basko, so they were all sitting and learning. He stands up. V'amah lo b'shamayimi. The Torah is not in heaven. And we don't care what the Basko says. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Amri, Shekva Nasan Torah Mahar Sinai. Since we got a Torah in Har Sinai, Eino Mashgichim Bebaskos Shekva Kasa Bar Sinai. The Torah Achrei Ravel Lahatos. We noted in Har Sinai, we said that we go to halachas like the Rabbim. So we know that the Torah that was given from Sinai, that was given from heaven. But heaven doesn't get involved. We have our own halacha. And since now we're the Rabbim that don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer, we don't care what the Basco says, that's the way it's going to be. And then he brings in a story. This is this actual part must have happened much later. Asher Rav Nosan Elio Amalei Maya VeKadosh Baruch Hu BaHishata. You know the story of Tanur Bachnai. What was the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing at the same time when he said, "I have a baskol," and it answered, "No." He says, "Amalei Kachayach." He was smiling. V'aman Itzchuni Banai Itzchuni Banai. My children, Itzchuni, they. It's more than defeated. They overwhelmed me, whatever. And he was happy about it. Right. So, okay, just quickly, what is the... He means that, you know, either the Basco was a challenge to them to see that they would be on the right road. And, okay. Let me just finish a little more and then I'll go back. Amru... That day when they had the machlokes with Rabbi Eliezer, Hevil kol taras shetiher, Rabbi Eliezer v'sarfan be'esh. They took all his taras and whatever he had done, and they burned it in front of him, and they said, "This is Asur Banai, it's tameh." What he'd done in the past, they passed everything he did. It's like taking a gadol b'torah and saying all your svarim, all your piskei halacha are worthless. And then v'namnu olav, they had a meeting. They decided about him. They didn't have him present. They had a best meeting behind without him present. Ubirchu, and they put him into chayrim. V'amru, and then they said bi'el v'yadia. You know that he's in chayrim. Someone has to let him know he's in chayrim. So Rabbi Akiva was his Talmud. Amalem Rabbi Akiva, ani elech, I'll go. Why? Shema yelech adam she'ena hagun. If someone else v'yodiyoi, if someone else who's not friendly with him or is a little enemy of his will go and let him know, v'nimtza machrev is kol ha'olam kuloi. He, in his anger, Rabbi Eliezer, who was also a kayan, which has tough people to deal with, he will destroy the whole world. So Rabbi Kiva says, I volunteer. Ma'as Rabbi Kiva, love a shcharni, dressed up in black, because when you deal with a person in a cherem, you have to be like a ogle. He dressed in black, v'nisnatev shcharni, v'yoshev lefon of baruch ha'kar ba'amas. He went to his house in Lud, and he sat away at a distance from him. Amalei Rabbi Lozer Akiva, ma'ayam ni'amayim, what's going on? How come you are sitting far away, and how come you're dressed in black? Amalei Rabbi, kim dumeli shechaverim b'dilem mecha. I think you're... Chaveyim, turn away from him. They put your chayim. So what did Rabbi Eliezer understood what he said right away? Afu kara begadav. Now here he did the three things of Avol. He tore his clothes. Chalatz manolav. He took off his shoes. V'nishmat v'yoshev al garba karka. And he sat down because that's halacha. V'logu ein of demais. And because. Or while his eyes were tearing, he was crying. Laka ha'olam, the whole world got punished. Shlish v'zeisim, shlish v'chitim, v'shlish v'sayrim. One third of the world's output of olives and of wheat and of barley was destroyed. Fell down. The raisin dough fell. Tana av gadol haya bayis hayayim shebechol makim shenasim bay. Another big thing happened in that day. Shebechol makim shenasim bay. Ein of Rabbi Lozan Nisrov. And now Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the Sanhedrin, but he was not here when they put him into Chayim. He was traveling. Av Rabbi Gamliel haya babes fina. He was not there, but he was in the boat. There was a typhoon that came to sink the boat of Rabbi Gamliel, because the Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, would never have done something that they felt Rabbi Gamliel did not agree with. Amas or Rav Gamliel said in the boat, Kibdumali Shein Ze Elo Bishvir Rav Elazar ben Hurkanis, that something must have happened with Rav Elazar ben Hurkanis. Amad al Ragla, Vama, Rebun Shaun, Gol Vyadula Fenecha, Shalulach Vaidia Sisi, whatever I don't do for my own covet. Lolachvod Ve Sa'aban, not only, and he was a descendant of David HaMelech, Elo Lachvodcha, Shalayibu Machlaikas Be Yisrael, Nachayam Me'aifai. Okay. So basically, this is what happened. You learn from this last word, Shelo Yirbu Machlokes B'Yisrael, actually gives you a picture on what happened in the whole story. Rabbi Eliezer was a very takif, and he felt that this is the halacha, and this is the way it should be. We don't take our personal feelings or Haroah Shoah, whatever's going on, is not involved in the halacha. It was given by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's a tipa. He doesn't lose a... They say on Rabbi Eliezer, he didn't paskin. Whatever he said, was he passed down what he heard. So he's saying, I'm not saying anything original. I know the Tanur of Rav Achnai is tar because that's the way it was given from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yeshua was on the Beis Hill side, and he knew what was needed in the time, and this was right after the Churban, and Rabbi Gamliel also, and they said, hey, listen, you know, we think that if we're going to continue halacha, it's got to be based on the halacha of the Bezdin of the Zman, right? And we've got to be open for, there was no more kachim anyway. So this whole question, what were they talking about? We'll see, this was a number of years after the Churban. So why were they arguing over Kachem? But they said, the process of Halacha has to go Achrei Rabin, and there will always be people who disagree. We have no problem with you disagreeing, but you have to know that Halacha is Achrei Rabin. And that was the base of the argument. Okay, so let's just go back a little bit back to the story. What is he saying then, Charuv Yochiach? I think the Maharal, if I understood him correctly, he says we're talking in three or four different levels. First he said the domain, a thing that has no neshama will prove, which is the tree. And then he said the water, which is Mayim, is Torah. Then he'll even say the Talmid HaChacham, the Kedusha. And then finally the Basco, which is Elokus. And I want to read the Ben Yoda, because he does Ben Yoda is the Ben Ish Chai. He wrote a couple of Sfarim, and he wrote one Sefer on Agarat called Ben Yoda. Ben Yoda was one of the David HaMelech's soldiers. And this Tosis also, they start arguing what is Achanai. So Tosis says that was maybe the name of the guy who invented it. Ben Yehuda said it could have been the guy who invented it, but what do we care who invented the tanur? But we're calling it because they had such shakal vitaria, they smelled like a snake. They went around it with a very deep pilpul. Why did he pick charuv? And he says it's mashma that he, of all the trees that he could have picked, he only picked the charuv, because the charuv is the words of charuv. That he's saying to them, you guys are trained to be machriv. I will show you the tree that symbolizes a churban is going to jump away from its space. The Maral says that the shita that it jumped 100 or 400, he says, 100 is a reshus, so move to one property or another. When you go 400, you're in a different world completely. It's a drastic. It's saying the churub went out of this world just to prove that he was right. So the Chachamah said that, no, Charuv could be just the opposite. You're the one who's being Machriv, because we're the majority. So then he says, Amas Hamayim Yochiach. Okay. He doesn't say the... it says, Amas Hamayim Yochichu, I think it says. Yochichu. He says, you're Rabin, so the dish will prove that you're wrong. So again, they said, no way. And he also wants to bring some gematrias that I happen to like. He says, it jumped, he goes back to the tree, jumped away 100 amma, because 100 is gematria of Maiden, that you should be admit to me. And if you say it's 400, it's gematria maskil, which means you should think into what I said to prove that I'm right. Okay, so he took the water, and then the walls, which was a madrega of learning, and then the Pascha. Okay, let's go a little further in the Gemara. So now, I forgot to tell you that Rabbi Eliezer was a brother-in-law with Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer married the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. So, first of all, Rabbi Gamliel was okay with it that they put him in Chayram, even though it was his brother-in-law. So now the Gemara is going to tell us something very interesting. Eima Shalom, the visa de Rabbi Eliezer, Acheisei de Rabbi Gamliel Havi. The sister of Rabbi Gamliel, her name was Eima Shalom, and she was the wife of Rabbi Gamliel. Havi Bahim Maisav Eilech Boy Havi Shafkislei, Rabbi Eliezer Lemapel Ape. From that day, when they put him in Chayram, she never let him say Tachman. She knew, and this is what our Gemara is going to prove, that when you say Tachnon, you can bring a terrible Einish on somebody. And she knew Rabbi Eliezer's power, and she didn't want him to say Tachnon, because if he would say Tachnon, he would be upset on Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel will die. So whenever he came to say Tachnon by Shachris Mincha, she would come and just disturb him so he shouldn't have Kavona. Ahi Yamareshir Chahave, the Ichavle bin Moli Lechoser. There was a day that she got mixed up Rosh Chodesh, whether it was Rosh Chodesh or was today or tomorrow. She thought today was Rosh Chodesh, and he wouldn't say Tachnon. And really, it was the next day. Ikedama also on a Vikabava. Some people say that the clouds came and blocked off the moon. You shouldn't be able to make Rosh Chodesh. She didn't remind him, and he did to Tachnan. So she came in with her dessert to give him food, and she says, you did say Tachnan today. Amalei, she said to him, come, get up, katals la'achi, you killed my brother. At Hachi Nafik Shifra, she was talking, you heard the trumpets, etc. When someone died, they, instead of ringing the bells, they blew the trumpets, the shofar. So they heard the shofar coming from Rabbi Gamliel's house, the shofar that he died. So Rabbi Eliezer told to Amish Shalom, Mino Yadana, how do you know this? Amalei, Kachmu Kubulani, Mibes Avi of Abba, Kol Asharim, Ninalim, Chutz Mishare Eno. They did something to you. They didn't have to burn your taharas in front of you. They didn't have to put you in chayrim. We'll see about it. But they did put you in chayrim behind your back. So you were upset. So this is the whole inyan of Oina. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva comes over, and Rabbi Akiva talks, tells him you're a Chayram, and Rabbi Akiva was his Talmud. So we're going to go into Rabbi Akiva a little bit, and then we're going to tie everything back together. Now, we all know the story of Rabbi Akiva, right? But we're going to look at it. I think, where are we? I think it's on okay. Meanwhile, the emperors are changing in Rome, and we have the Chachamim deciding to go to Rome to bribe and talk to the emperors in the year 95. And just as they get there, Rabbi Gamliel goes, Rabbi Akiva goes, Rabbi Yeshua goes. I'm not sure if Rabbi Eliezer went. But just as they get there, the emperor is assassinated, and they have a new emperor. His name is Nerva, who was friendly. He was friendly to the Jews. And they speak to him, and they get rid of some gezeiras. And the next thing we have is Rabbi Akiva is traveling to Bavel to help them be Mechadash Chodesh, because they needed someone from Yisrael, Nuda Lochas, and he picked it up and he went to Bavel. And then you have a new emperor, because Nerva only left like a couple of years. And his name is Trajan. Trajan was the son of one of the generals who fought against the Jews in Yerushalayim, and he hated the Jews. And there was always fights going on. There was a revolt in, I think, 115, throughout the kingdom. It wasn't only in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews in Greece killed 250,000 Romans. And the road, the Trajan, I think, right?
Jews in Greece?
Greece, Cyprus, Mesopotamia, I think Trajan at his time was trying to conquer Mesopotamia. And they were getting supplies of wheat, were shipped from Egypt to Mesopotamia. They shipped it up through Damascus, through Israel, and they were being also harassed. The Jews kept on blocking their road. What I'm saying is not gospel, you know, not even whatever. Lahavdil. What happened was, the problem with the first revolution was that it was a spur of the moment. They hadn't prepared enough soldiers, they hadn't prepared enough strongholds, they hadn't prepared enough food. All this time, the Yidalach were preparing. They knew we had the Churban, but we're going to plan for it coming back. So they were preparing food, they were preparing armies, they were preparing trenches, places from one place to another. And Hadrian came along, and who he became the Caesar in 117, I think, yeah. And in the beginning, he said, "I would be good to the Jews." And he came to visit. He was in Beit Shan. He printed coins, and he appointed a consul, Titunus Rufus, who really ran the country. This Titunus Rufus was of a
You mean Turnus Rufus?
Right. They called him Tunus. And his brother was married to, I think, a niece of the Caesar. There was a whole family. All of them were consuls. And he was very, very, and he was Roman, very Roman, and he was very anti the Jews. And later in his life, they made the Hadrian edicts against Bris and against Shabbos, and he was the one who enforced it. He was eventually the one who killed from the Asara Ruga Malchus he started. Okay, so I want to get into Rabbi Akiva. That's what I really want to get into. And then we'll contrast all this with... I'm not as organized as... says page 2, I think that's the one you're going to get. Okay. Yeah, it's in the Dorim. It says page 3. Hanoidim in Amavushal is the Perek. I think it's the third line. Let me see if I have it here.
Yeah.
Have it, Darrell. Okay, let me read it. Rabbi Kiva is Kadeshlei Breise de Kalba Savua. He got engaged to the daughter of Kalba Savua. Shama the Kalba Savua Adra no Mikol Nachase. So Kalba Savua did the same thing like Hyrcanus. He put a nether that he couldn't have any of his money. Also, this Kasele Kisusa Avigale Beitivne. They were living in a shack, and they had a little straw. Havei Kavinkele Tivna Mizaya. She was pulling around the teven from her hair, I think. Amalei Hanale Minelach Yerushalayim Zahava. So Rabbi Akiva told his wife, if I could afford, I would give you a tiara that was called the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. But she only she had was a little straw in the house. Just that time, Elio wanted them to feel good. So you may believe he is a guy whose wife is pregnant, and he says, I don't have even a piece of straw for my wife to give birth on. Can I have straw? All these stories you keep on repeating in some form throughout the mythology, if you want to call it, or history. So, okay. So Rabbi Kiva told his wife, you see, hi Gav, I thought table, so we're lucky because we have at least straw. Okay, Zilhava Bey Rav Azul Tarti Srin Shinin Kamid Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. So somewhere along the way he decided to sit and learn, and he went and he spent 12 years by Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua the Mishlim Tarti Srin Shinin Kosel Avesa. He came back after 12 years. Shomim in Achor Avesa the Kamalah Chadri Sholer of Isay, Rasha said to Rachel, if that's, we're not sure if that was her name, of Rabbi Kiva's wife, Shafa Avid Lachavuda, Chadad Loi Damilach, V'oij Shavakt Armelis, Chazis Kulishnin, your father did good, he didn't give you any money, and look at you, your husband left you Almana, he left you Aguna, he left you all alone for 12 years. Amalei, she sent back, Itzayis, if Rabbi, my husband would listen to me, the day would have it Shnin Achrinza. He who should leave, he should sit another 12 years and sit and learn the yeshiva. Omar, so Rabbi Kiva said, Hayel v'yavali rishusa ahadalachor. He didn't even go into the house. He heard this story, the Russia talking. He said, he turned around and he went back to the yeshiva. Hodor Ozel Shonachrina. He came back after another 12 years. Also the Esrim the Alba Alfa. He came with 24,000 Zugi Tamidim. It's a Girsa here, it doesn't say Zugi. It says in another Gemara it says he had 12,000 Zug, which is 24. Over here it says he came with 24. And she came to run to him. Amalei Hahi Shada. Risha says, I'm not sure what the translation is. She was going to run towards him, and she wasn't dressed. She was poor. She didn't have what to wear. She was running towards Rabbi Akiva. And she said to him, to them, he knows that he left me with nothing, so he's not expecting to see me anything. The Gemara somewhere else, I think it's in Shabbos, says that when Rabbi Akiva later became rich, and we'll see this a little further down, he actually did buy Yerushalayim Shilzah for his wife, and Rabbi Gamliel's wife, all the rich women were jealous. So the question was, why were they jealous of? They had money they could have bought their own. So one of the sources I saw said, when Rabbi Akiva bought it, he went to her and he put it on her head. And I don't know if it fits in here or not, but or maybe when she came back and he had the 24,000 Talmidim and she ran to Rabbi Akiva and she was dressed and the Talmidim wanted to push her away, Rabbi Akiva approached her, was her Makarev, and maybe even hugged her, like Yaakov. So the Chachamim, the wise of the Chachamim, and also when she got the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, were upset. They looked at the husband and says, look at Rabbi Akiva, look how he puts the thing on his wife's head. You never do that to me. You never pin a piece of jewelry on me. So this is Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara goes and says, how did Rabbi Akiva get, he was very rich. How did he get rich? So he says there are three stories. One, there was a story of a boat. There's also Savara that Rabbi Kalva Savura went and was got a heter matan neder, so he can give him money. And this is basically his father-in-law. So this is a sort of the story about Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. There's a lot of repeats here. So he says he got rich because there's a story of the boat, and he goes into the story of the boat. They used to put a figurehead in front of the boat, and they used to fill it with jewelry, and once they were, merchants were going, and they didn't, they forgot the figurehead, and Rabbi Akiva found it, and he returned it, so they said, you can keep the jewelry. And he brings another two stories in the last line. The Chachamah was a time when they didn't have enough money, and Rabbi Akiva went to a matronusa and took a loan. And she says, who's going to be our Avis for the loan? And he says, the ocean will be our Avis for the loan. And then there was some empress's daughter who was nuts. And she took all her jewelry and she threw it into a box. And this Matronusa came to do the loan. And she went to the seashore and she found the box with all the jewelry. So she told Rabbi Akiva, I'm sending you the change because it was more enough than to pay the loan. And also, on the bottom, the section you're going to read, Minishtai shall Ternufis Rufus. He also got rich from the wife of Ternufis Rufus and Katia Bar Shalom. Let me first go to the story of Katia Bar Shalom. Katia Bar Shalom was another Gemara, and I have it in one of your sources. He was a Roman lord, and the emperor had, I don't think it was so much the emperor, it was his council, had a meeting to discuss about the Jews, and he was very pro-Jewish. And he said, you know, you're right, you have good opinions, but I'm the emperor's representative, and like Lincoln said, there are 11 A's and one A, and the A's have it. So since you spoke for the Jews against the emperor, you're going to be executed. So he's going to be executed. So one of the women says, it's a shame that it's an incomplete Klee is going to be going. And he said, you're right. And he fell on himself, and he bit his arla. He did himself a bris milah. And when he was taken, as he came to be executed, he said, I leave all my wealth to Rabbi Akiva. The story of Tinus Rufus was always arguing with the Chachamim and with Rabbi Akiva. And he told Rabbi Akiva, he asked him a question. He said, who's better, God or man? Who's more complete? And he says, he thought he'd say, you know, God, and he would fight with him, you know, and say the Romans are right, it's man. And Rabbi Akiva says, the man is more, makes more complete. And he says, what are you talking about? He says, you see, God created man, but he created him with a fault. He has an arla. So we men have to complete God's work. We have to cut the arla. Every time he had an argument, Rabbi Akiva lost. His wife was supposedly a beauty. And she said to her husband, let me take care of Rabbi Akiva for you. And she got dressed up. And she went to Rabbi Akiva. She tried to seduce him. I think it's in one of these sources here too. So Rabbi Akiva saw her. He spit on the ground. He cried and he laughed. And she says, what are you doing? He says, I'm spitting because that's where your source is. Your source is Tiba Srucha. From a, you know, everyone comes from a piece of semen, so that's nothing. I'm crying because all this beauty is going to die and it'll become rotten, you know, in the grave. But I can't tell you why I'm laughing. And the Gemara says he's laughing because he knew that she would be his wife. She would convert and marry him, and she brought a lot of money with her. Okay, so this is Rabbi Kiva, we know he's rich. Right? I'm not sure. Rashi and Ran say that he died, Rufus died, and then she converted. I'm not sure. I'm going to present that he was still alive. It was Tinnathus Rufus was the one who put him into jail, who put Rabbi Kiva into jail. And he told him to kill him too. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva has 12,000 zugim. The Gemara, let's get to that Gemara. Okay, the Gemara is in Yevamos, Samach Beis Amud Beis. You should have a little point of it. There's a machloikis of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says that if just as you have a chayv puravu when you're young, when you have children when you're young, you should have children when you're old. When you're young, you're a hothead, and you have time to take care of your children, but you're governed by your emotions. But when you're older and you have children, the children, you're mature already and you learn, so the children that in your older age come out better than the younger age. That's Rabbi Yeshua. He brings a pasuk. Rabbi Akiva says, it's right in the middle next to Samach Leperek and Rabbi Kiva. I'm a lama tervi yaldusa yom a tervi ziknusai. How you loy talmidim be yaldusa yi loy talmidim be ziknusai. And then the Gemara goes that shenema babay kezera ezaracha. Amru, they say, shnei neser elv zugim talmidim hayu le Rabbi Akiva. Mi geves adan topris from this area. The kula mesu beperek achad. They died in one period of time. If there was no Torah in the whole world, he came down to south. He came. Let's assume he came from Galil. He went back to Yerushalayim, and he had Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, Rab Yosef, Rab Shimon, Rab Elazar. Vehem emid the Torah Oisa Shah. Vehem emid the Torah. So he had these 24,000 Talmidim when he was young, and they died. So he had, when he was elder, he had the Rabbi Meir and the other Talmidim. Oysa Shah Tana, Kula Mesu Mi Pesach Adatzeres. They learned that what was the period of time they died? They died from Pesach to Adatzeres. Amar Avcham Barab, Vitem Rav Chia Barab, Kula Mesu Misera. They all died a horrible death. Mai Amar Av Nachma Askara. There are some 600 different types of death. Askar is the worst. It's like, it's a choking death.
Diphtheria is how it's generally
it says it's like pulling
it's a
knot.
Disease.
Yeah, it's a respiratory disease. So the Vinyarada says that the reason he put it over here, it says Zugais, because Rabbi Akiva saw that he had problem with his Talmidim, some of them were jealous, or Makana. So he divided them into groups of strong weak, so that they would, Chavrusa would work on them. They wouldn't be able to say, you know, and that's why they died in this period of time, because Pesach, we're at a high, because we got out of Mitzrayim. And then we have the Sphere Saoma, we start counting to get to the next high, which is Mount Torah. So there's a Yerida. So he gave them everyone had a Chavrusa, one was strong and one was small. So the strong one weakened, and the weaker ones strengthened, so they should know that there's nothing to be jealous. But he says they didn't respect each other, they spoke Lashon Hara. And what is the punishment on Lashon Hara? Your power of speech goes away. And that's why they were punished with this punishment of Askar. Okay, so now we're going to go back to Rabbi Eliezer. So we know basically something of the time, and then we get into the Gezeiros of Rabbi Eliezer died before that. Okay, I want to get into the last piece of Gemara. Okay, it's Arba Mises. It's right at the top. There's a question in the Gemara, what's the halacha about cucumbers, hayamaisrim? So Rabbi Kiva said one thing, and Rabbi Yeshua said another thing. So the Gemara says, how could you say Rabbi Kiva said it, Rabbi Yeshua said it? V'tanya kishachala Rabbi Eliezer. So now he's going to say that Rabbi Kiva did learn this original Gemara. He learned the Psa, he passed in this halacha. V'tanya kishachala Rabbi Eliezer, when Eliezer was starting to die, so he got sick. Nichnas Rabbi Kiva v'chaver levakrei, hu yoshev v'kinuf shaloi, v'heim yoshev v'betarkalin. He's sitting in the corner of his room, and they're sitting in the entrance part of the room. V'is yom erev Shabbos, it was Friday, v'nichnas hurken is b'nai l'chleitz tefillin, and he was wearing tefillin, and his son came to take off the tefillin, because Shabbos, he is not, loves man tefillin. So gar boy, v'yotze b'nazifa, he told his son, get out of here, don't bother me, go to the kitchen and make the chon. Amalam l'chaveirav, see what. So when he walks out, he saw the guys from the yeshiva. So he says, "Kemeduma anisha data shalaba nitrafa." I think my father has got Alzheimer. He's going. Amalahen, so Rabbi Eliezer opened his mouth. Datoi v'dasimoi nitrafa. I'm saying him and his mother are nuts. Eich manicha isaskile v'iskim b'isishavus. I'll get back to this in a second. Kivin shiroch hacham shadatim yeshevah. Since the hacham saw that he was saying, nichnasu v'yashu lefanav mirochag daladamas. They came in and they're sitting in the hall. They don't know what's doing with this guy. You know, they're shy. They don't want to go in. So they figure the son will tell them. The son comes and says, look at this. I want to take off my father's tefillin before Shabbos. And he's pushing me away. He's losing it. And he hears them and he hears him talking to the Talmidim, so he knows that he has guests. So he says, what is he talking about? What's the use of wearing on Shabbos tefillin? It's a Shavuos, it's a Derabanan. He didn't make his shalom yet. He didn't put in the lights for Shabbos. That's a deraisa. That's a skila. I'm crazy. He's crazy. So the Chacham already heard that everything's all right, so they walked into him, but they still sat away Dalet Amos. Amar lahem, lama basem. What are you doing here? Amalehem l'umay Torah banu. We came to learn Torah. Amalehem v'adach shav l'amalobasa. This is like 20 years later, right? 20 years passed, and you didn't come learn it? What's the matter with you guys? Amalei loyay alonu panai. They didn't want to tell him, you know, you were a chayim. He knew it and they knew it. They said, excuse me, we didn't have time. Amalehem t'miyani. I'm bewildered. Im yemusu mises atzmam. I really don't know if these guys who Vaza Talmud Chacham will die a natural death because they had a chance to learn Torah and they didn't learn Torah. Amalei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was his Talmud and who was close to him. Nevertheless, v'shalim ma'u. Amalei shalach kasha mishalahem. You're going to have a horrible death, even worse than them. Why? And I was explaining why. Not al shtei Yisrael. He takes the still hands and he puts them on his heart. And he says, "Oy vey, my two hands, they're like two sifrei Torah. With a lot of Torah I learned, and Rabbi Akiva, you could have had all this Torah that I could have taught you, and you left it. You didn't do it. So you're going to get a double language because you could have really absorbed a lot." He says, "I learned a lot of Torah. Harbor Torah lamadati. B'loy chasakim rabbis. I afilu kikelav amalaki ben amayim. Minayam. I learned a lot of Torah. He was a bar, and he never lost a drop of what he learned. And I think maybe it's later. It says, yeah, it'll say a little later that he repeated for them 3,000 halachas." So he says, "I never lost, and when I learned, I didn't take away any knowledge from my rebbes. It was like a dog licking at the water at the ocean. So my rebbes didn't lose anything by other rabbis. They gained because they A Rebbe gains by teaching. So, kom lamdai iskalti. And the loy chasroni talmidai ela kemachol b'shvaferes. V'loyoid ela shani shayne shloish meis halacha b'baheres. As on the halacha of Baharis, on one type of tzaras, Baharis, I can give you 300 halachas. V'loy adam she'shalani behem davar ma'ayel. No one asked me. V'loy oid el shani shani shloish meis halachas, v'am le shloish halachas malachas b'netiyas kshuin. And I can teach you 3,000 halachas on planting of cucumbers. V'loy haya adam she'alani behem davar ma'ayelam chutz mi'akiva ben Yosef. And Chutz Rabbi Akiva, he's the only one who knows this. So the Gemara proves from here that Akiva was the one who learned the halachas. And what happened? Pamachas hayinu hochim, aniva hu hayochim hayinu baderech. We were walking on the road, and we couldn't be going to the halacha is while you're traveling, you're not allowed to talk of Torah because you have to concentrate on your road. Amalei Rabbeinu ben Natias Kshuan. We were passing fields. He says, teach me the halacha of pickles, of cucumbers. Amarti davar echad nismala kol asarik shurim. So I turned, I went to the field, and I said the word, one word, and suddenly the whole field was full of cucumbers. I gave him an audio-visual presentation of how you plant cucumbers. Amali Rebbe, lamadatani netiyosan. Now that I understand how you plant it, lamderandi kurasan. Teach me how you get them out. Amarti davar echad niskatsu kulam lemakam echad. I said another word, and they all gathered into piles. So it wasn't really, the question is, was it magic? You're not allowed to do magic, but he didn't do it. He only did it l'islamid by, and he didn't do anything for permanent. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva was taught the halach of the cucumber. Now we're going back to Chachamim here by Rabbi Lezer. Amulai, they asked him a question. Hakadur va'amuz va'kameya v'tzra margulis mishkalos ketana mahu. They asked him five halachas. If you have, let's say, weights that you kept in a leather bag, or you had a baseball that was in a bag and the bag opened up, what's the halacha? Can you be a tovel in the mikveh? Does it become a tame? Is it considered a kli or not a kli? Amulahem ein tameyim. Vitarosam bema, shehim, manul shall gabi, vitarosam bema shehim. Okay. Manul shall gabi hamus. What about a shoe that's on the last, on the form that you're making a shoe? It's a completed shoe, so it would be even kabbal tuma because it's a kli, but it was never taken off. While it's on the last, what's the halacha? Amalahamu tahar. The Yotzan Nishmasi B'Tahar, and just as he said the word Tahar, he actually died with the word Tahar. So, Rabbi Yeshua was the one who put him in Chayram, remember? Again, Amad Rabbi Yeshua, because he stood when he put him in Chayram, he stood up again to be matter him from Chayram. Amad Rabbi Yeshua Raglav, Vama Hutar Aneder, Hutar Aneder. He didn't do it before, he did it now, right? And this is Erev Shabbos, so they couldn't bury him till Matzah Shabbos. Pogar Rabbi Akiva min kesar lelud hayav makiv esorei achi dami sheses laaretz. He was died in Caesarea and they took him to Lud, and Rabbi Akiva was dragging blood out of his blood was coming out of him, and he says avi avi rechav Yisrael parashav harba mas yeshli ve'en li shulchani la. Says I have a lot of wealth, but I don't have where to exchange him. Right, so he meant, you know, So he says no, he learned it from Rabbi Eliezer. He didn't understand what Rabbi Eliezer explained it with the pickles. So he went over to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua explained it. So then he asked, how could you do magic? How could he have done magic? He said, no, he's a ma'aseh chayav l'islamid. Okay. So what happened was that now he's saying the halacha was really Rabbi Eliezer, and he went to Rabbi Yeshua to explain. This Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, I think almost all the Mishnahs paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, but it doesn't say so, because he was in Chayram. And a lot of times when I want to say halacha from Eliezer, the Chachamim got smart and they said Rabbi Yeshua says. They kept on switching between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer so that they could say actually a halacha from Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so now I'm going to go back and I'm going to explain to you exactly what I read from Rabbi Avram Kurman, how he explains the story of Rabbi Akiva and the Tanur Achanai. Now, Rabbi Akiva, all his years, he was never accused of Mayrid B'Malchus. He was going out, he was speaking with Rafos. He supported Bar Kochva. If you get to the Gemara, they arrested him because he learned Torah. And he knew he was going to be arrested. He's sitting in jail with Papas, and he says, why are you, I'm a crook, and look at you, you're on Torah, and look at the Matan Torah Maschara. And even while he was in jail, Rabbi Akiva was passing by the halacha. They would walk by and they ask, what's the halacha? And he would yell them out of jail. He would tell them what the halacha was. And then they had the, he was killed. We know how he was Harugi Malchus. And the Sanhedrin could not incorporate until, he was killed around 135, and until 147, there was no official Sanhedrin until Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. The head of the supposedly Sanhedrin was Rav Meir, the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And if you know who Rav Meir's wife was, Bruya, his father-in-law was Rav Hananya ben Tragian, who was also one of the Sararugim Malchus with the Sefer Torah around him. So, and Rav Meir, and this is a different topic that if we have time, I'll go into later, actually had to run away to Bavel. The Gemara says it because Maisa the Brura, he saved Bruria's sister who was in a Beit Zanot. Rab Meir was also Rabbi. So let's go back. Rab Eliezer, from the beginning, felt that we have to fight for our rights, let's say. Rabbi Akiva had the same svara, Rab Meir had the same svara, Rab Meir's family had the same svara. So it came to Bezin. This was, I'm assuming it was a year after they came back from Rome, and they tried to make a deal with the emperor, and they see the emperor's, whatever deals you make, the emperor dies, a new emperor comes, you have a new guy, Trajan, who hates the Jews. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you know, let me just jump a second. How did they have yeshivas those days? Everyone worked. Rabbi Yeshua was a smith, Rabbi Yochanan was a sandler. They didn't sit all day. They sat and worked, and then they had a shir. At night, they didn't, unless they had candles, you didn't work, you didn't learn at night. You slept and you woke up early. Rabbi Eliezer, who was a kayan, worked in the fields also. I imagine yeshivas were, whether they were only Shabbos or twice a week or when the Yarchei Kala, people came together and he gave a shir. And that was called the yeshiva. And they learned it that way until they became 40, and then they got smicha, because except for Rebbe, I think, who was under 40, and the Gemara says that was only because in his town he was the oldest. But you had to sit in yeshiva and learn until you were 40, and they had all these yeshivas. Rabbi Akiva was bouncing back between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and he even went to Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer came out and he said to the Rabbanan, you know what, we're gonna have to fight the Romans. And we're going to fight them, we're going to take the guys, young guys, who's going to fight? Guys who would go sit in yeshiva, so they'll train, and they will go fight the Romans. They learned in the yeshiva, so they automatically, they had a complaint. Rabbi Akiva had, let's say, a gigantic following. And he said, listen guys, we're going to war, we're going to support Bar Kochba. This was even before Bar Kochba. We're going to support the fight against the Romans. You're going to have to be trained, you're going to have to leave yeshiva. And they said, we're never going to become musmach. You know, that's our goal. We don't want to get a BA, we want to get a Rav degree. So Rabbi Akiva said to them, we have a new title. The title is known Talmud Chacham. If you sit and learn in my yeshiva, I know you're not going to make it to the 40 to get it, but I'm going to give you a certificate that's going to call you Talmud Chacham. Who was the first person who was called Rabbanan?
I think Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is the first. Eichon ben Zakkai was the first Rabbanim. In the Pirkei Avos, he's the first one they call Rabbanim. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai could be Rabbanim. Rabbi Akiva said, I'm making a Talmud Chacham, and I know the Romans backwards diplomatically, and I have their money. I know exactly we have to fight them. But you come out from yeshiva, you go to the Nahal Haredi, you keep all your kashrus with you. They keep so much kashrus that we say in Tilas Yadayim, we said, why do you have to haras Yadayim? It's to remind us what it was in the Mikdash. So Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, you're going to go in the field, the maneuvers, how are you going to eat bread? You need an oven. But you need an oven that is not Mekabel Tuma. So there is this wonderful oven invented by Bill Gates Hanoi that comes in, it's a laptop oven that comes split in parts. And I pask in its tahar. The Chachamim, and this, look, think of today's day. They look at me and say, no, you can't be Mavatli Yeshivas. We're not going to go fight. It's Tameh. They're not going to be able to eat. And number two, what are they going to do? You're going to have all these people, you're going to have to prepare food for them. Where are they going to get food? So Rabbi Eliezer says, where are they going to get food? The Eitz Harub, the boxer tree, will give them food. Because you make flour out of it, you have fruit out of it. Rav Tzadik ate all his life in Yerushalayim. He lived on once a week, he ate a Harub. So, what's your problem? So the Chachamim said, you know what? Okay, they'll have food. It doesn't say they disagree. He said, what about water? You have to drink. So what happened? Rabbi Eliezer says, the water through streams, we'll find irrigation waters. That's not a problem. So the Chachamim says, they're not good enough. We have the Torah. What's going to be without Torah? You're going to go take Jewish boys, they're going to go into the army, they're either going to get killed, or what's going to be with the Torah? So he says, Kaisei Beis HaMedrash. They were sat in the Beis Medrash and they absorbed it, just like the walls absorbed the Torah. They will never forget the Torah. And not only am I right, Mishamayim, they know that if we do this, Mashiach will come, Bar Kochva will come. Because the Shamayim said, and this is, Shamayim didn't say, Halacha now is like Rabbi Eliezer. It says, every time Rabbi Eliezer paskens, it's right. He has a approach that is right. So we have a machlokes of hashkafas. Rabbi Eliezer says, and I'm sure he wasn't the only one in the Sanhedrin, because the Sanhedrin went after the Rav means he, if a Sanhedrin of 71, he could have had 35 chachamim. Rabbi Akiva could have been masking with him. Rabbi Hananiah ben Treydon was masking him. It didn't make a bit of difference because the Rav said against him. So they said, we got to have a Nahal Haredi. We're going to fight against, they want to destroy us, the Romans. Proof, they later came in with all kind of takanas, which were at the Makar to do it. And we have to go and do it. And the Chachamim said, Rabbi Gamliel was a family of Yehuda. He was a family of diplomats. He had the support of Rabbi Yeshua. And they said no. And they said, not only are we saying it's Tameh, we're asering your whole hashkafa. Anything that you said was Tahar, we're going to burn it. And we're going to ostracize you. I mean, you're a minority. There's nothing wrong with a minority in a Sanhedrin. That's normal. But they made him a Zok and Mamre. And they had a Bezdin Shaloi Befanav. They didn't wait to put him on trial so everyone would see the discussion and say, I feel like him. They actually judged him Shaloi Befanav and they put him. And when he got upset, he actually cried. He cried, look at the harm you did. You're destroying a third of the world. I talk it because I'm upset. But the churm is done because of the hashkafa that you can't have Talmid HaChachamim who should also fight for our right. So this, I think, based on the dates, this happened around the year right after Rabbi Gamliel died. He died in 101. So this happened in Trajan's time. And Rabbi Akiva was safe the whole time, and these were his 12,000 Talmidim. They were in his earlier. Rabbi Akiva was born in the year 40. We're using the secular dates. Until 40 years, until 80, he didn't know Torah. He was like, they say, like a donkey, he would bite the Talmid HaChachamim. So this is another attribute of Rabbi Akiva. He was stubborn. He knew what he was doing, and he would hang on. He spent 26 years in yeshiva. He spent 12 years, 24 years. He spent 12 years, then he went back another 12. So 80 and 24 is 104. So by that time, Rabbi Gamliel had died, and Rabbi Eliezer was then put into Chayim. While he was in yeshiva, he went 95, he went to Rome. I'm assuming right after he came back from Rome, they had the confrontation with Rabbi Eliezer. And you've got to understand that it has to be Hashkafa, because you're talking already 30 years after the Churban. 30 years after the Churban, after the fights, how valid was it an Indian of Tuma and Tahara? And further, you have Rabbi Eliezer HaMudai, who's also talking to Tizayer B'Kodshim. He lived even later in Beitar, which was like 133. So, and Rabbi Meir lived 140. He was after Rabbi Akiva that they were chasing him around. So Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died like the 12,000, the 24,000 died. They went with his sheet and they died. And it doesn't say what they died of. It doesn't want to talk about them. Two mentions in the whole Gemara of the Talmidim. So it says they died of Askara. How did the Romans kill people? They choked them to death. Askara was a code word. When you said someone died of Askara, you said that means he was killed by the Romans. And they died because usually the wars were after Pesach. You didn't have wars before Pesach. You had to have the roads clear. So this is the pshat on the Tana Rachanai. And it also will drag into the other thing that I don't think we'll have time, is to talk about Bruria, which and her story. Does it make sense? Okay. Well, I think we'll take a short break and then we'll go into the Zisman thing. Any questions?
לרבי עקיבא?
כן, read the notes.
וואו.
So now we're going to talk about topic one, basically. We're going to go back to Inyan Mesira and how you have to, how it's urgent that you know not only historical content, but you know facts. I mean, how can anyone paskin anything if they don't know what's the circumstance? Like they had a psak a while back in Eretz Yisrael about using Shabbos elevators. Someone said, you're not allowed to use Shabbos elevators because he did an analysis. But he may not have known the analysis of the Rav Moshe when he made a psak on medicine. He would really go into it. He would take Tendler. He would understand. But today, people, you know, they're weak. Anyway, I was at a shir 15 years ago, and a young guy, he gives a shiur on Hilchos Shabbos, and he decided to give a shiur on Mesira. And I'm not going to go into the details of the shiur. Mesira, you know, routing out. And he brought a halacha of Rav Moshe Klein, who says that even on a murderer, you're not allowed to do Mesira. And the reason, and this came out again, this same Dvar Halacha, he modified and he did again as far as sex abuse is concerned. He says, number one, if a guy murdered somebody and you caught him, I'm assuming he's going to do tshuva, he's doing tshuva. So you can't do Mesira on what he's going to do now. It's a different person. Number two, you have to have Eidus. A woman is not good for Eidus. Circumstance is not good. A child that says I was abused, the victim can't talk. DNA is not Eidus. So, you know, this is what he passed.
What happened?
This is what the guy gave the shiur and he brought the halacha from him. I'm not going to argue with him. I'll tell you, Rav Menashe, I keep on saying, I have no problem if I hear someone comes in and says, you're not allowed to eat anything except burnt toast. Because everything is treif. Because even when there was a Sanhedrin, you had people who, we just learned this, you always have minorities in Sanhedrin. The halacha is, if someone comes for a death penalty in front of the Sanhedrin, and there's a unanimous decision that he's guilty, he's not guilty. The halacha says that if there's unanimous decision, everyone says, I see all the witnesses, I see all the others, he walked out, we saw him stabbing. If there's not one person among the 71 who can find a zechus for him, then we're murderers. Okay? So we do accept that is a minority opinion. So I don't mind if somebody comes on and says, even if there's a murderer, you know, he's this. But to say a thing like that, and I went over to the Baruch Hu, without knowing the background of the Paskim the Halacha, you can't even tell what the Halacha is, you know? It's like saying, I'll take this an example. I'll take it in an example that I saw. Moshe Stern, Deborah Tzinarov, has a set of Svarim, and he brings a Sefer in a certain gynecological procedure, which is very popular. He says it makes the woman she has to sit like she's a needle. And he writes in the Psak Halacha, he says, I don't understand how Rav Moshe is matter. And then at the end, as a PS, when they printed the Sefer, he does something which I consider very, very brave, although I'm not a chassid of his. The reason I'm not a chassid is because he paskins, Rav Moshe Stern paskins, that if you have a Sefer by the biggest gadol who is printed by the YU Press, it's a mitzvah to burn it, because it's a YU apikarsim. And his brother, he has a brother in Australia who passes the same exact Shiloh Faker. Anyway, so he goes into this gynecological question. At the end of it, he says, a doctor in my kehillah approached me and he explained the procedure. And Rav Moshe is 1,000% right. But I am from the old school and I based on the Chassam Sofer's Psak, and I'm afraid to paskin that there's no problem. So I said that's very, 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 takes guts to say I made a mistake because I didn't know. But my question goes back to you, if you didn't know, why did you paskin?
Because you didn't know what he didn't know.
Okay. So I go over to this guy and I says, there's a psak, what happened? And I tell him, you know, there was a psak bar of Nasha, but what's the story of what happened? I said, 2 years ago I was in shul, and there's a sign on the wall saying, Pidyon Nefashis, there's a poor guy who's sitting 10 years on a murder charge, he's completely innocent, they made up a story, please send in your money and demonstrate we want to get him free. So I look at the facts, I know the story, and I call up the number they give you, which is the parole board, and I said, don't you dare let him go. He's up for parole. Don't you dare let that murderer out, that scumbag. And everyone, and they tell me you're not the first. It's the same story. In 1970s, a young lady by the name of Miriam Leah Zeisman, from Crown Heights, got married, and they moved in to, with her husband in East Flatbush, when East Flatbush was a very nice community. Her husband was in the diamond, couldn't find a job, he went into the diamond business. Today we go to B&H, then everyone went to diamonds. And she had two babies, two boys, and she was pregnant in the seventh month with the third, and she was being abused by her husband. And at one time she said, "You better stop or I'll tell people that you murdered Paretsky." There was a diamond merchant, Paretsky, who was murdered, and they could never figure out who murdered him. But she says to her husband, "I know you murdered Paretsky, but don't, why, you know, stop beating me." And he took a knife and he stabbed her 21 or more times, killed her and the baby. And there was skin under his hand, under her hand, but there was no DNA at that time. And it was very hard to prove anything. Anyone here remember the story?
Yes, anybody who davened here during that.
Okay, because the uncle lived down the block.
He davened here.
Beryl davened here, or his label? Label.
The killer davened here, and we all remember that.
Okay. His parents had a bakery in Muncie, on Route 59, and they took him to Rabbi Tendler to see if he can help him. Rabbi Tendler, he admitted to Rabbi Tendler what happened, and Rabbi Tendler said, "I'll help you find lawyers." He said, "Admit it." And Rabbi Tendler took a detective, that was the story, took a detective into the closet, but later Rabbi Tendler actually testified in court, and he was convicted of two charges of murder, his wife, the child, and Paretsky was a third charge. He was given...
Others were involved in that.
But he was given three life sentences, I think, concurrent. He appealed. He said, "I spoke to Rabbi Tendler. It was a privileged communication." Rabbi Tendler got up there and says, "I told him when he came in, I am not your rabbi. I will help you find lawyers. And I told it to this, and I am not his rabbi. But I am testifying because halachically, this is a murderer, and we can't let a murderer run in the street." At the time it happened, if you recall, the Hasidic community especially was yelling at Tendler that Tendler is a lowlife, he's a miser, he's giving over Jewish people to... He could have gotten the chair, I don't know if the chair was still in existence, but they were complaining against Tendler. Someone was organizing, and I think everyone changed their mind except for Menashe. Now, if you go to Rakefet, he has a... Rav Nasha Klein, Paskin, know that a Moser, you're not allowed to give over a person to the courts, even if he's a murderer, and even 100% you know he's a murderer. He Paskin then, and he repeated it again now. Lately. The same exact Paskin that he says... If a child is sexually abused, you need a bezdin to paskin if you can give him over to the courts.
Paskin, in cases in which they are not asked to
right. Paskin. We call that paskunyak, we call that.
So he said, well, Rabbi Tendler should not have testified?
Yeah, a lot of people said not, but they changed their mind because they realized who this guy was. So... If you don't know the background of it, and they put a sign up, pigeon shavuim, you know, and this happens all the time.
It was very hard for us to believe it at first. And quite a few of us attended the trial at the beginning. It was extremely hard to believe. But eventually, provided the evidence, and that was that. It was very disturbing.
Now, he not only did he appeal the case, which he lost, the grandparents wanted custody for the children.
Right.
And they went to court. And he came to court and he said, "I want the children." And the court gave it to the grandparents. And he appealed that appeal. He says, and the appeal said, "Hey, listen, you're never going to get out of there." The grandparents have already taken care of him during the trial for the last 3 years. There's absolutely no reason for you. And this recalled me, I was in Israel a year ago, and I went to a cemetery. I had a great uncle who was a Mayil, and I went to the old Netanya cemetery, and the Matzeva says, Rabbi Yeshua Mohel, and his caver is right next to the children's section in the old Netanya cemetery. So I go into the cemetery, and right by the door, where it says Chelkas Yeladin, there's three monuments together. 6, 8, and 10, two boys and a girl, and it says Ben Lilach Shem Tov, Nichtav B'demei Chayam, and then one has a spongeman bob on the matzeiv, and the other one has a skateboard. So I went to the Chevra Kadisha and I said, "What's the story?" He says, "A year ago, they were divorced, and the father took them to the mall, took him home, drugged them, murdered them. And after he was convicted, he went to court to sue the mother to put his name on the matzeva. And the mother said, 'Hell over my dead body.'" So unless you know all the details, it's so difficult, you know. And when you bring a halacha, basically, I knew the uncle. I didn't know he lived here in the neighborhood. And the label, you know, huh? Yeah. So what convinced the jury? The Tendler? Or?
Found
out that there was this woman that was involved and urged her to testify. So you see, this supports a little bit of Nash Klein, because even the people who were at the trial didn't believe it.
Not at first. How could you believe that something like that would happen? That was then. Now we see another. We had another one. There was another case like this in Staten Island, right? Everybody knew that couple too. In case of domestic violence, guy murdered his wife. A year or two ago. Well, yeah.
There was no trust.
Right.
I think the reason Rubashkin got such a big thing is because he tried to fight it. They were going to get him anyway. If he would have made a plea with them, they would have settled for him.
Maybe He would have made a plea bargain in Brooklyn. There's a difference between the class system in Iowa and
Try to fight the system.
That's a blemish on American democracy.
Obamacare. Of course it does. He was.